This is One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today we present Chapter 5, Book 73, entitled So Near and Yet So Far. Here is a special announcement to the One Man's Family listeners from the head of the House of Barber, Father Barber.
Thank you, Mr. Barton. This is a particularly happy occasion today, and it gives me great pleasure to bring you the following information. Beginning 2 weeks from today, One Man's Family will have a new sponsor. That's right, a new sponsor. We are not going to tell you the name of our sponsor today, but the author and the cast want our radio friends to know that this new sponsorship is due directly and entirely to the loyalty and the graciousness of One Man's Family's great listening public. You remember, of course, our request last spring for a showing of letters when we were without a sponsor. You likewise remember, of course, the thousands and thousands and thousands of letters and postcards of response which flooded us for weeks afterwards. Well, it was that flood of letters, that flood of response, that great showing of loyalty which is directly responsible for our new sponsor. In a sense, he is your sponsor. You asked for him and you've got him. So, in 2 weeks, when we once again become a commercial show, it is our sincere hope that you'll receive the sponsor into the family and give our new product the same loyal support you feel for the barbers. You make the sponsor happy by supporting his product, and he will make you happy by continued support of One Man's Family. I think this is going to be a happy association for everyone. Thank you sincerely.
It's Sunday afternoon in Sea Cliff, San Francisco, a bright winter day with a clear sky overhead and a pleasant Sunday hush over the wide streets and fresh green lawns. An itinerant ice cream vendor drove through here a few minutes ago, broadcasting a gay summery tune on his automatic bells, but no one flagged him down. It's not ice cream weather. Besides, at Jack Barber's house next door to the Barber family home, there's a case of chicken pox. In an upstairs bedroom, Betty at this moment is reading to Sharon Ann, the invalid.
And then little Kanga went hop, hop, hop just as fast as he could go. And Mother Kanga went hop, hop, hop as fast as
Mommy.
She could go. And Father Kanga went hop, hop, hop faster than anybody.
Mommy.
Until the angry King Kangaroo was left.
Mommy.
Yes, dear?
I'd much rather have Daddy read to me.
Oh, that's a compliment, Sharon Ann. But he can't read to you again till you're all well. Remember what Dr. Thompson said? Chickenpox is very contagious.
Contagious?
That means he could catch it.
Oh, I know what that means, Mom. That's why he stays out in the hall to talk to me.
That's right.
Well, why couldn't he sit in the hall and read?
Because your daddy's writing a speech. He's had a wonderful honor, you see. He's been invited to take Mr. Spencer's place and make a speech to the Commuters' Luncheon Club.
Mr. Spencer from the office?
Mm-hmm. He's the head man next to Judge Hunter. So it's important, you see, dear, and we mustn't bother Daddy. Now, don't squirm so. You only have 2 more days, then you can get out of bed and be all well again. Daddy will read to you every night. Won't that be fine?
After Daddy gets through writing his speech, then what is he going to do?
We oughtn't bother him for a while, don't you think? You know, Daddy works very hard for us in the office all week, and Sunday should be the one day he can do just as he pleases.
Except for helping with the dishes, and hanging out clothes, and running the vacuum, and those things, and washing windows.
Oh, he likes doing all that.
That isn't the way I heard it.
Sharon, where'd you pick up such remark?
The kids at school all say it.
You're not too, though. I don't think it sounds very nice.
I'm sorry, Mommy, but that's what they say.
Hi, how's the invalid?
Daddy, Daddy, hi, Daddy.
Now, don't bounce so.
Hi there, young lady. How are you feeling?
I feel wonderful. I feel like dancing and roller skating and skipping rope. I feel fine.
Stay out now, Jack. I'm coming.
When you bring my tray up, I want everything, Mommy. Meat and potatoes and gravy and ice cream and milk.
Dinner isn't for a long time yet.
I can hardly wait. I'm practically starving.
Be a good girl now. See you later, Sharon.
She doesn't like my reading. You've been sleeping.
Oh, just lying down, thinking.
Jack, when are you going to have time to write your speech if you don't do it today?
Oh, a good part of it. I'll show it to you. Come on in our room a minute.
You should be sitting up straight somewhere, thinking as hard as you can.
Oh, that isn't the way it's done at all. Sit down, Betty.
That's the way Daniel Webster did it and Henry Clay and all those people.
But they didn't know much about the unconscious mind. I read about a writer in a Sunday book page who said he did his best work in his unconscious mind, lying flat on his back in bed. So I tried it. Sort of doze off and get up and write something and then doze off again. I think it's pretty good. What are you going to do?
I haven't had a chance to change my clothes since breakfast. Go ahead. Let's hear your speech now, Jack.
Well, you sure you can really get it, changing your clothes and everything? Well, maybe we better wait till after dinner.
If you want me to hear it, you better catch me while you can. I may not have another minute between now and bedtime.
Okay. Well, here it is. I'm going to say, Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, it is a signal honor that has been done me to take Mr. Spencer's place here today.
That doesn't sound very good.
Why not?
Well, it's no honor if you're just substituting for Mr. Spencer.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, and how's this next line? I'm not much of a public speaker, but I'd... Huh? What are you looking at me that way for?
Well, it's negative, Jack. Just has sort of a dismal sound.
But I don't want them to expect too much.
They won't. They're disappointed to start with, not having Mr. Spencer. And if you keep telling them you aren't any good, they'll just slide way down in their chairs.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Maybe it'd be better to write that speech wide awake, sitting right straight up.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'll start it all over again after dinner. Say, I'm going to have quite a week. You know what? Tomorrow I'm going to drive Mr. Spencer to the airport. Great chance for a personal conversation. Wednesday noon, I deliver the speech, and Wednesday night's the bowling tournament.
Mm-hmm. Is my hair kind of straggling back?
Yeah, sort of. You know something? I kind of feel like things are suddenly opening up for me. And you know what did it?
Hard work and being on time.
No, sir, it wasn't either. It was bowling. You know what I told you, how Judge Hunter dropped in last Wednesday night and saw me roll four strikes in a row? Well, he was talking to me about it in the hall outside his office, and Mr. Spencer came along and heard him say I had good coordination, and he was proud of the lawyer's bowling team and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the very next day, Mr. Spencer took some notice of me in the office. I mean, for a long personal conversation, and said I could drive him to the airport and make a speech for him and all that.
You told me all this before.
Yeah, but I don't think you appreciated it. It was actually bowling that did it.
It was being on time and being neat and working hard. That's what did it.
Oh, you don't understand the legal profession. It was really bowling, Betty, whether you agree or not. It's ironic. On account of four straight strikes in a bowling alley, I've got a chance to distinguish myself as a public speaker.
Jack.
And if I do that, someday I might even run for assemblyman.
Jack.
Hmm?
Come a little closer to the mirror.
Huh?
Come here, in the light.
What's the matter? What are you staring at me for?
You feel all right?
Sure, I feel fine.
Bend over, let me feel your forehead.
Hey, what's going on?
Jack, open your shirt.
Huh?
Open your shirt and let me see your chest.
What? Oh, no. Oh, Betty, I...
Unbutton it.
Look, I can't. This is the wrong time for anything.
Jack Barber, you've got chicken pox.
Huh? You sure?
I ought to know chicken pox by now when I see it. Just look, it's much worse than Sharon Ann's.
Oh.
I'll move you and Sharon Ann in here together. Why, that'll be fine. You can read to her all day long, and that'll keep her in bed.
Oh, fine. Oh, dandy. Don't look so pleased about it, Betty. Don't you realize what this does to the bowling team and my career?
Don't be silly. Your health comes first anyhow. It's a big help to me, because I simply didn't see how in the world we were going to keep Sharon Ann in bed for two more whole days. Well, Henry, did you have a nice walk?
Yes. Oh, yes, this library is perfect for relaxation, eh, Fanny?
Tired, dear?
Oh, no, feel fine. Good to relax, though, eh? Yes, what are you doing there with those old albums?
Oh, I've been going through them, sorting out some old pictures. I haven't looked at these for years. How they take me back. Here, recognize this one?
Yes. Who's that? Clifford?
Henry, don't even know your own children.
Yes. Pretty hard to tell from baby pictures. Is it Hazel?
Oh, good heavens. It's not a girl. That's Paul at 6 months.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I think it's a precious picture. I almost hate to part with it.
What are you talking about, Fanny? What are you going to do with those pictures anyway?
Well, maybe this is silly, but I thought I'd get a lot of Paul's pictures together and give them to Christine after they're married. Don't you think it'd be nice?
Well, when we have her over here, you might ask her. That would be the simplest thing.
I think she'll just love them. Your mother gave me some pictures of you when we were married, and I wouldn't take anything for them. You know, the ones I have up in our bedroom. Oh, I'd forgotten this one. Look, Henry, this was taken when Paul had his first pair of short pants, remember?
Where's yours? Taken down there on Mason Street. All those pearl buttons down the side of his pants.
Oh, remember how proud he was of those.
He got a serious look in his face.
Well, you just gotten after him because he wouldn't stand still. Poor little tyke. Was almost on the point of tears. You could be pretty severe at times, you know.
Well, you had to make him stand still or you wouldn't have had his picture. This foreskin rug they had over the stand here made him itch, he said.
Let's see. Oh, yes. Here, let me take it and put it in with the others I'm saving out to give to her. See, I hope it won't embarrass Paul, giving Christine these pictures of him. Do you think it will?
Don't tell him.
Well, that's a good idea. Then she can show them to him someday. Now, let's see. I think I'll give her one of these in uniform. How about this one, Henry? This is when he got home from France. My, how black his hair was.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the cane you gave him. He limped so badly then, poor dear.
Seems pretty happy to me now.
Yes. Isn't it wonderful that he's found someone at last?
Yes, yes.
And that we came to our senses. We've got to do everything we can to make her welcome, Henry.
I thought of stopping in at her house today on my walk, but I thought I'd better wait until I had consulted Paul.
Yes, I think we should.
He got out this morning before I could see him. I was going to talk to him about it then. Did he go to the airport today?
Said something about flying somewhere.
Doesn't usually go on Sunday.
Well, he expected to be home this afternoon. You can talk to him when he comes in. The sooner we do something about Christine, the better.
It's going to be a bit awkward with that brother of hers, Fanny. Something sinister about that fellow. I don't like the look in his eyes.
Well, maybe after we get to know him.
Where is everybody?
We're in here, Clifford, the library.
Okay.
I love the gay, exuberant way Clifford comes in.
About time that boy was finding a job.
Henry.
Hiya, kids. What you doing?
Hello, Clifford.
Well, I'm Dad.
What you been up to today?
Oh, I've been over at Claude's.
Any word from Nicholas yet?
No, not yet. I don't understand it.
Well, it can't be that he's being neglectful. He's too conscientious.
Well, if anything had happened to him, we would have heard, Henry. He has relatives over there.
Yeah, I told her there.
Well, I've communicated with our embassy over there.
Huh? Wasn't that our doorbell?
Yeah, I'll go see who it is.
What in the world? Can't be one of the children. The door's unlatched. They'd walk right in.
Oh, somebody wanted to sell a subscription to some magazine, probably.
On Sunday?
They're apt to depend on any time. Hope Clifford gets rid of him. Don't read half the magazines we take now. Who was it, Clifford?
It was a telegram for Paul.
Telegram? What did you do with it?
I left it on the table by the door. You didn't think I was going to open it, did you, Dad?
No.
Telegrams always worry me a little.
Oh, hey, what's this? All these pictures and old family albums. You cleaning out one of the closets?
No, I was just sorting out some family pictures. I thought it'd be nice to give some of these pictures of Paul to Christine.
Oh, that's swell, Ma.
You think she'd really like them?
She'd be tickled to death. Let me see some of them. Sure are old-fashioned looking. These are the ones you're giving her?
Yes, I put those aside. I haven't finished going all through them yet. I may find some more.
Oh, they're marvelous. You ought to give her one of you and Dad, too. You got one there?
Oh, she wouldn't want one of us, Clifford.
Well, why not? Sure she would. So would Paul. Gosh, he'd want a picture of you to show to his son, wouldn't he?
Huh?
Certainly, they'll be having a baby. Don't you think they'll want a picture to show him of his grandparents?
Yes, yes, yes. Let's pick one out there, friend.
I just can't picture Paul with a baby of his own somehow.
No, why not? Make a wonderful father.
Well, I know that, Henry. I just said I couldn't picture it.
Yes, sirree. Henry Barber II.
Huh?
If they have a boy, I bet that's what his name will be. Henry Barber II. Would you like that, Dad?
We'll probably name him Paul.
It'd be nice to have a Henry Barber II. Oh, can you reach the phone there, Clifford?
Yeah. Hello? Oh, hi, Hazel. How are things? Oh, good, huh? Yeah? Yeah, she's sitting right here beside me. Just a second. Here, Ma.
Thank you. Hello, Hazel. Oh, just fine. Oh, we're sitting here talking. I've been going through some old albums. Yes, and we've had more pleasure looking at these old pictures your father and I.
I remember that picture on a white fur rug.
You did? I want to see it.
Mom.
On the phone, Pinky. No, we're holding down the fort. Dan took Hank and Margaret out for a ride. Yes, such a nice day.
Mom?
What is it, Pinky?
I'll wait till you're through. Sorry.
What's that, Mother? Oh, I'm sure we'd like to, some of us anyway. All right, we'll drop in right after supper. Bye.
Sorry to interrupt, Mom.
Oh, that's all right.
Here's that Stanford catalog I was looking for. Look, they even have a golf course at Stanford. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, Pinky.
Well, the tuition isn't so high.
Doesn't seem high to you, maybe. You think in millions. But Dan and I use real money, you know. We have to watch pennies.
If you and Dan can't quite swing it, well, I'll make some money.
Oh, good.
Tell you the way I feel about it. Have you got a minute?
So you really want to go to Stanford next year, Pinky? Seems odd when the rest of us went to California.
Uncle Jack went to Stanford, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Shattered the precedent, didn't he? How did he happen to do it?
I'm trying to think. Something about the law office, I guess.
Gosh, the only smart thing I ever heard of him doing, going to Stanford.
Pinky, what a thing to say about your uncle.
Oh, Mom, now look. I'm old enough to express an opinion. Well, I'll be a college man next year.
You and Dad don't seem to realize that.
I'll try to keep it in mind.
I like Uncle Jack fine.
That's good.
It's just his timing's always been bad.
His what?
His timing.
Oh.
It's always way off. You know where he went wrong on his timing? Right smack in the beginning. He got married too soon. He should have waited until he had some dough. Until he was solidly established.
I see.
Sure. You make one little mistake in your timing, and well, you're back of the eight ball the rest of your life. His children came too fast.
I'd like to be as self-assured as you are, Pinky.
For instance, if he'd used any judgment, he'd have known he might have twins anyhow. And then the triplets wouldn't have been such a surprise to him.
How do you arrive at that?
Well, there's Uncle Cliff and Aunt Claudia, and Hank and me. Twins running the family. Now I'm going to be prepared for it to happen to me.
How?
Well, I'm going to be all set before I get married.
Suppose you fall in love the way your Uncle Jack did.
Well, I'm going to steel myself against falling in love. Unless the girl's loaded.
Oh, Pinky.
What's the matter?
I hate to think what you'll have to go through before you find out what the real values are.
If money isn't a real value, tell me a better one.
Oh, there are dozens. Courage and character and self-reliance and honesty, to name a few.
That's abstract, Mom. Let's be practical. I'll get it. Yes? Hi. Yeah, sure. Right. Okay, come on over. Now, there's a perfect example of what I was talking about.
Who was it?
Joan. Uncle Jack borrowed two volumes of their encyclopedia. He put off returning them, and now with Sharon's chicken pox, Joan can't go over there. Lousy timing, you see?
Pinky, I want you to stop being critical of your elders.
I was just making a few observations.
Just remember that experience may revise your judgment. Joan's coming over here, is that it?
Yep. I'll bet she's going to go to Vassar, Smith, or Wellesley, huh? Some Eastern school.
I don't know, I'm sure.
She can afford it. Say, Mom.
Yes?
When does Joan come into all that dough that Grandmother Roberts left her?
I suppose you mean, when does she inherit her estate?
Yes.
When she's 21, I believe. Why?
I don't know. Fate certainly gives things a twist. What does a pretty girl like Joan need with all that money?
To catch a fortune hunter, maybe.
Now you're kidding me. You know what I'd do if I had a fortune like that? I'd invest it in oil. Why, I bet I could double it in a couple of years.
Really?
Why, get me one of those little British cars with the right-hand drive, you know? Any guy driving down to Stanford with one of those would be in.
In what?
In the right fraternity, things like that.
Pinky, you worry me. You really do.
Why?
Well, where did you get all these snobbish ideas of yours, the right fraternity, getting in?
Mom, the world has changed since you went to school.
Now, let's get right down to bedrock here. You'd better stop dreaming. I don't know whether you can go to Stanford or any other college. With two of you ready for college next year, you both may have to help out a little. You'll find yourself in a white jacket working in a drugstore or in overalls mowing people's lawns, and that isn't abstract either. That's practical.
Okay, I'm willing to. Look at the money I made last summer.
I'd be glad to. Where is it?
Well, I got value for it.
But you spent it. You didn't invest it in oil, nor did you double it. No. If I may use your own language, you blew it. A very immature performance for a financial genius, if I may say so, my son.
Why, got value for it, though.
Is that your best argument?
That's Joan, I guess. I'll get it. I'd like to talk about this some more sometime.
I'd love it. We'll spend hours at it.
Oh, hi, Pinky. Do you know anything about the word arabesque?
Arabesque?
I thought so. Neither did I. The dictionary doesn't tell me enough. Oh, hello, Hazel.
Hello, Joan. How are you? Our encyclopedia is right there on the lower shelves.
I'll get it.
Oh, thanks, Pinky.
Well, isn't that a new jacket?
Mm-hmm. Do you like it?
Mm-hmm. Any news from Nikki?
No, not yet.
Oh, there may be some simple, reasonable explanation.
I know, but it just isn't like Nikki.
Here you are. Arabesque.
Oh, good. That's exactly what I want. We're supposed to write a 5,000-word short story. I'm going to do one about a ballet dancer.
Where are you going to school next year, Joan?
Let me guess. Vassar?
Oh, don't be silly.
Smith?
Well, of course not. I'm going to California, where Paul went. And you did too, didn't you, Hazel?
Mm-hmm, we all did.
All but Uncle Jack. He went to Stanford. And that's where I'm going. It's more of a gentleman's school. I don't know. The Stanford type on the West Coast is kind of like the Princeton type in the East, don't you think?
I wouldn't know, Pinky.
I like the fraternities at Stanford. I've met some of the boys.
I think fraternities and sororities are silly and snobbish. I don't want any part of it.
Huh?
No, I don't, really. Paul told me about some kids, perfectly good kids, who practically died because they weren't pledged to something or the other. They're darned undemocratic, that's what I think.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to think it over before next fall.
That brings us right back to what I was telling you, Mom. Timing. Everything depends on a guy's timing.
Oh, dear.
There, now that's finished. I'm sure Christine won't want any more pictures than that. Clifford, would you like to put these albums away for me?
Oh, yes, sure, Ma.
In that cabinet over there. Lower shelf.
Okay.
I'll just put these I've saved out here in this dresser, I guess. Now, don't let me forget where these are now, will you, Henry?
Yes. This cabinet comes pretty close to being full.
I know. There are a lot of things in there I'm going to get rid of. Just haven't got around to it.
Last time you got in one of your cleaning moves, you burned several things I wanted to keep.
Well, if I didn't get in and throw out some of the accumulation every so often, we wouldn't be able to move around in this house.
Paul must be home. Heard the front door.
Oh, tell him we're in here, Clifford.
Hey, Paul, come on in the library.
Okay.
Now, don't say anything about the pictures. I want it to be a surprise.
We won't. Hiya, Paul.
Hi. Well, this looks very pleasant.
Paul, dear.
Mom?
Yeah, you've been to the airport, eh, Paul?
That's right, Dan.
Well, it seems a shame you have to go down there on Sunday. Been good for you to have rested today. You look tired.
Oh, I'm fine.
Paul, we were talking about when we could have Christine over. We didn't want to make any definite plan until we discussed it with you. We didn't know whether you'd prefer to have a family dinner with everybody here.
Just the grown-ups, of course, not the children.
If you had all the kids here, Christine would have the screaming memes before the party was over.
Well, do you think it would be better to have her over first for an afternoon tea so she...
Well, that's wonderful, Dad, but
I was telling your mother I nearly paid her a call this afternoon. I was taking a walk, and as I went by her house...
Well, what I was going to tell you was that she had to leave town last night.
Oh.
Huh? Hey, nothing wrong, is it?
Well, apparently it was something that came up rather suddenly. That was Chris who phoned last night just before dinner. I was going over there after dinner, and she called to say that she and Rex were leaving.
Leaving for where, Paul?
I don't know. Said they were making arrangements and that she'd call again if she possibly could before they left. She didn't, so I guess she didn't have time.
That sounds like something serious.
Had something to do with Rex. I wanted to go over, but she said they'd be gone before I got there.
Yes, yes.
Oh, say, I forgot. There's a wire came for you.
Oh, where is it?
It's probably some word from her, Paul.
It's on the table over the door. I'll get it.
No, I'll get it, Cliff. We've got to go upstairs and brush up a bit anyway. Grimy. Well, thanks. Just the same.
Paul.
Yes?
You let us know if there's anything we can do.
Oh, thanks, Dad. Now, it'll work out okay, I think.
What in the world do you think could have happened?
It's that Froome. I said from the beginning that man couldn't be trusted.
Take it easy now, Dad. Let's wait till we find out what's what.
Oh, that's right, Henry.
Well, I got it. Hello. What?
Who is it, Clifford?
Oh, no.
Huh?
Just a second, Betty. Hey, Jack's got the chicken pox.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Chicken
pox? Jack? Is he broken out? Yeah.
But didn't he have chicken pox when he was a boy?
Yeah.
I can't remember whether he had them or not.
Okay, Betty, I'll tell her.
Can't have them more than once, will you?
Well, tell him to take it easy. Okay, bye. Oh, what do you know? Poor Jack, always something.
Well, I'm going over there and see if I can't help out.
Mom, Betty told me to tell you that they were getting along fine and for you not to come over.
Yeah, not very sick, I admit.
Just the same, I think.
No, Mom, she's fine. Betty said the only thing that was bothering was that he'd have to miss bowling Wednesday night and something about a speech he was going to make somewhere.
Probably all end up with it over there.
Very well, Hassel.
I wonder if Paul went up to his studio.
Oh, yeah. He said he was going to clean up a bit.
Oh, I do hope there wasn't bad news in that wire. What a strange business about the Frohms leaving in such a hurry.
I think I'll run up there and see if everything's okay.
I wish you would, Cliff.
Yes, sir.
If it had been anything serious, he'd have come in and told us.
You let us know, Clifford.
Yeah, okay, Dad.
What do you suppose could have happened to make Christine leave so suddenly, Henry?
This Frohm.
Did Paul say Mr. Frohm was sick?
No, I imagine Clifford or Paul will be down shortly. As Clifford said, it couldn't be anything very serious, or Paul would have come in and told us.
Oh, I was just trying to come on downstairs, Cliff.
Yeah, we were kind of worried you might have had some bad news in that telegram.
Oh, yeah, well, I better go down and tell Mom and Dad about it.
Oh, was the wire from Christine?
Yeah.
Well, everything okay?
I'll read it to you. I got it right here. Paul, darling, sudden departure imperative. Rex in very neurotic state. Had to get away from Seacliff.
Hey, do you suppose he's gone a little screwy?
Have accepted concert tour.
What?
Thought it advisable under circumstances. Will keep Rex with me ostensibly as manager to keep him occupied. Am in Los Angeles. Flying to Dallas to play first engagement there. Am desolate over separation, but our whole future was endangered if I remained in San Francisco with Rex in his present state.
Gosh. That all she says?
There's some more there. Here, you can read it.
His present state. Believe me, I love you, Paul. I will never cease to love you. I pray that we will be together before too long and can go through with our marriage. To be Mrs. Paul Barber is what I want in life most desperately. Letter follows, I love you, Paul, darling Chris. Well, looks to me like it's only a question of getting that Rex character straightened out and everything will be okay, Paul, huh?
Yeah. I think we'd better go downstairs. I don't want to keep Mom and Dad in suspense.
Yeah, sure. Oh, Paul, it's going to be all right. You know that fella.
Yeah, sure, Cliff. Sure, and that's what we want to impress on Mom and Dad, huh? After all, the old boy will be 75 here pretty quick, and we certainly don't want any kind of cloud hanging over the place when his birthday rolls around.
Yeah.
Not that there is a cloud, you understand? It's just that, well, let's make him and Mom believe the sun is shining a little brighter than it is, maybe.
Huh? You've just heard Chapter 5, Book 73 of One Man's Family. Written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 6, entitled Events Leading Up to a Celebration, will come to you next week at this same time. What's on NBC today? Phil Harris and Alice Faye start the comedy rolling today, and three great stars, Celeste Holm, French O'Tone, and Lee Bowman, keep comedy as the key to good listening on the Theater Guild on the Air presentation of Dulce. You'll hear entertainment, and you'll agree, the best radio listening is on NBC. One Man's Family comes to you from California. Coming up, it's the Quiz Kids. Stay tuned to NBC.